takes you back, way back, way, way back, to the point it just ministers to your soul. That's a song that, you know, I'd listen to in time and time again and say, God, a change is going to come. But sometimes we think it's not going to come. We go through and we go through and we start looking at the calendar. We start looking at the clock. I think the change is going to come. Regardless of your circumstance and your situation currently, everything has a season. Say, Pastor, I'm not going through anymore. Well, you better be celebrating right now because there is something that will come.
Amen.
You can guarantee it. He did not allow Moses to stay on the mountaintop.
That's right.
He'd get back down there in the valley. More time is spent in the valley than the mountaintop. People said, but I want to live on the mountaintop experience. Quit falling off. Get the instructions and then get back to work. Every time he spoke to Moses, it was something for the people. It wasn't for Moses. It was for the people. Can you imagine if Moses would have stayed up there? No, God, I like you here. I want to stay here. I don't have to deal with people. He says, oh, yeah, really? Carry that stone with you and take it down there. Watch what's going to happen. And what happened with Moses? He's walking down. He sees these people acting crazy. Acting crazy, right? Then he even gets the stones that he saw the finger of God etch in stone the commandments. And he broke it. How many times have you seen a miracle take place? A miracle, a sign and a wonder, and you get mad and you throw it away. Okay, let me back up. Let's do that. That moonwalk. Hey, let's back it up. Miss Sylvia, come up here. She says she has a testimony she wants to share. Come on, Miss Sylvia.
Good morning. Well, my nephew, I'm going to start from Monday. My nephew was supposed to go to court on Monday. And he was, I'm sure, would have been going to prison for at least 10 years, right? Because of the charges against him. He went to court on Monday, and it was so chaotic on Monday, and it was the judge was tired, the lawyers were tired, and so they said, you know what? We're going to do it Tuesday. So he wasn't heard on Monday. He was heard on Tuesday. They came back. The judge had read all of his background, and it was terrible. So he asked if there was anyone that would speak for him, and his mother was there, my sister. My youngest sister. And she stood up before the judge and said, he is an addict. He's not a bad person. He's a wonderful person. He'll take the shirt off his back for you. He sold drugs for his addiction, not for cars, not for money, not for anything but addiction. My son needs help. That's what he needs most of. So the judge said, didn't say anything, and then he said, you know, now listen to what you have to say. And I agree. He says, I was ready to send your son to prison, not jail, prison, for 10 years. But he says, God said, not the judge, God said, right? God said, send him to rehab. He said, going to rehab, and after rehab, he's going to a halfway house, and after that, he's going to be, probation for 5 years. But God was there because of the prayers that we pray for our children, for our husbands, for our wives. They work. Our tithing that we do, when we come and worship the Lord up here, that's what we do. That's what happens. Believe it. I live it all the time. I know. I have more testimony for my son, and you know that. But anyway, this is my testimony for my nephew, and I love my nephew, and I pray for them all the time, all of them. Amen.
Amen. Do you know why testimonies are important? Because it gives those that are going through something similar hope. Hope. Like I said, to everything there is a season. If someone is facing something they think that they're not going to come out of, that season can turn in an instant. And what the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn it for your good. And if you think the hardship was there to take you out, let me remind you, it's there to take you in. Anything that stands before you is to prove to you he's inside of you. And he'll make change. He will make change. Every time the enemy tries to come against you, he's only pushing you to your destiny. It's when you get the revelation that that testing is to push you further, not away. But if you give in, then you gave the enemy the victory. So don't quit. Just keep on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if that had been your baby, if that had been your son, if that had been your daughter, maybe that's your grandson. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Victory is there for everyone. But when we think it's a setback, just beloved, hear this. It's a set up. Amen. Stand to your feet. I promise I'm not going to keep you long. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. You are a blessing to be a blessing. Your days ahead of you are better than the days behind you. What you have left, you're only going to receive double for your trouble. You are coming out and you're going in. You are the head and not the tail. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. I look at you as someone who is victorious, an overcomer, and the one that Jesus loves and keeps in his pocket. We love you. God bless you. Hug someone. Tell them you love them. Come on. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Get out of, yes, right. Get out of the rows. Go over there. Go hug them. Go hug them. Tell them you love them. Tell 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 them. Love you. I felt y'all this morning.
I love you.
I said they're going to be here today. Yeah. Well, come on, hug somebody, hug somebody. Come on, hug him, hug him, hug him. Hey. Hey! Hey!
Yeah.
sometimes some of the work gets kind of hard. And this ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you act cool. At the car wash, whoa, 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 whoa. Talking about the car wash, yeah. Come on, y'all, and sing it for me. Car wash.
Work.
Well, those cars never seem to stop.
Come in, work and work.
Keep those bags and machines humming.
Work and work.
My fingers to the bone.
Work
it out. I can't wait till it's time to go home.
Car wash,
hey, it's your car wash day.
Fill up and you don't have to pay. Come on and give us a play.
Come on, y'all, let's sing it with me. Car wash.
Sing it with feeling, y'all.
Car wash, yeah.
Cover coming in here today. We pay the cover charge. I'll make sure we paid our cover charge.
Woo-wee.
Well, there is some purpose to some of my madness, some of my craziness. Listen, if you hadn't got the flyers for the prophetic school tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, it's every Monday at 7. Please sign up in the back. David is holding up the clipboard. It has been hallelujah. It's been a great class. We've seen so many things that God has spoken in that class. So if you can make it, come on out. If you've already attended, you're just going to come on out anyhow. If it's something that you want to do for the first time, sign up back there so we can get you registered, please. You'll enjoy it. You'll get unlocked, and you will see the word of God come forth out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. All right. The reason for that song, and do you remember when I started this particular series about the falling away? Well, we talked about how I had that dream about the car that was all being, you know, just hitting every side. It was dirty and it was windshield wipers. Remember that dance y'all did? Y'all, you know, it hit YouTube already and y'all were doing this. Remember that? The windshield wiper. Remember the windshield wiper? What was the antennas? Do the antennas. Do the antennas. Come on, do the antennas. All right, y'all did the antennas. See? See? All right. And then what was the hazard lights? Remember? Remember that? Well, I'm telling the headlights and hazards. You know, that particular song, you know, I remember watching the movie back in the day, crazy, but we have to remember that some of the times we got to get into places that we need to be cleaned up. We think just because we're in church that we all clean. Well, that's a lie of the devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like how kids used to lie. No, but I didn't run around today, so I'm clean. I don't have to take a shower today. You know how they do? They don't want to get in the shower. How they used to do, they would just go and turn the water on. Remember, they just turn the water on. And then, and he said, did you take a shower? Yeah, I was taking a bath. And then you go and smell the hair. Like, oh, hey, get back in there. You remember when it was you out there playing so much you'd get the ring? Remember the ring on the neck? Come on, Janie, you know the ring. You know, you get the ring on the neck, and then all of a sudden you would tell the kids, go get in the shower. When they come out, that ring that was on the neck is the ring that's on the tub. See, we always have some things that are left behind when we get cleansed. But so we need to go through the car wash to get some stuff off of us. We can be in situations and in places that we shouldn't be. Well, hello. But then we got to get some of that stuff off of us. We can walk into a place and think everything's good, hunky-dory, and feeling good. But when you come out of that place, you kind of wonder, what is on me? But if you don't go through the cleansing process with God, you're just going to be funky, stanky, and you can't shake it off. But you got to get into the presence of God where he can cleanse you. That's why the car wash. You got to go to the car wash. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to go through that extra cycle. I'm just saying. I'm just playing. Some of y'all need the undercarriage washed. Because what happens is... y'all try to hide some things thinking nobody's going to notice. It's under. It's covered. It's under the blood. Why don't you get that thing cleaned up enough so that you don't have to be claiming the blood anymore? You ain't working that thing no more. You ain't working the nerve of Jesus no more. You're saying, you know what? I'm through with all of this that's here. I want to get out of that. Hello? Can I get an amen? Can I get a preach, pastor, preach? Hey, okay, I think I will. See, what happens is we get caught up in a funk and that we don't want to go through that process of getting cleansed. But if we keep it there long enough, watch this. How many of y'all been out to the coast? Raise your hand. All right. Now, I don't mean the real pretty coast. I mean the brown coast. The brown coast, the Corpus Christi brown water. Okay. But listen. How many car washes have you seen in that area? A whole bunch, right? Because what gets on you sometimes isn't seen. But it begins to do the most damage. It begins to corrode the very thing that you didn't think would be corroded. But you can't see it. It gets in there. Have you ever got some of that sand into your car? And you can vacuum and you still can't get it out. And it's still in there. You can go ahead and get you that Kirby or whatever that's supposed to suck everything up. And it's still there. I'm getting mad. And then some of y'all, you think y'all are so slick, you go and get that all weather kind of mat, you know. Well, I just dump it out. It's still in there. Here's what I'm trying to say is we think that we can protect things. But the reality is we got to cleanse things. We got to get cleaned up. We got to get the thing that's going to make you deteriorate out. Because if not, then the enemy is going to use that very thing to start eating at you that will make you fall away. What is that falling away? Are we seeing that Jesus is returning soon? Well, for some of us that declare Jesus is coming, we're in the last days. Okay. We've been in the last days for about 15, 20 years, and we still ain't seen it. How about that we begin to look at that we don't know when he's coming? He doesn't have to announce to us when he's going to return. When he does return, he's going to look for a church that is without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. He's going to find the house of manna. He's going to be in 65 Babcock Road, suite number 24. Come on in.
So he's going to find a church without spotted blemish. But here's what I find out, that as I go through the course of my walk with Jesus, I see that all the mess that's on me. You understand? So, Pastor, you always talk about it. I'm talking about me. If it fits you, well, then just put the shoe on, lace it up, and put it. Let's go. Come on. We all got to get cleansed. We all got to go through our own deliverance. There was a preacher, very well-known preacher, that was traveling the world and doing all kinds of healing and demonstrations of deliverance. And then a prophet came up to the man that was leading the actual crusade. He says, the Lord told me to tell you that this demon is inside of you. Some of y'all religious minds say, no demon can be inside of a saved Christian. Let me tell you something. What you've opened before you came in to the kingdom of God is there in your soul. And it's hiding. It's dormant. And it's waiting for an opportune time to come up. So the man of God just said, I ain't got nothing on me. And began to manifest that very demon that man spoke. In front of everybody. He would think, ooh, I'm not following that man. That man's got demons. With you in your neck like this, you may want to think twice. About the friend that's walking with you. We all have to go through our deliverance. We walk it out with Jesus. Amen. Sometimes it's done in a church setting. Other times it can be done when it's one-on-one with Jesus. But the only time you go through a complete deliverance is when you truly surrender it. If we don't surrender it, you're keeping that thing with you. You've named it and proclaimed it. This is my friend. He goes with me everywhere I want to go. And when I get lonely, I just talk to him. Remember back in the day, huh? Shoot, we used to kick it right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We get so comfortable with this thing that we think that we don't need to go through that car wash and clean it all up because it's been hidden for too long. It's got to come up and come out. And the only way that happens is by understanding that that is a trick of the enemy to make those that are following after Jesus to fall away from Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, please. Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. And when you're there, say amen. I'm going to recap, and then I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to share with you what causes us to fall away. I know we went through that list of things of how you know someone's fallen away. We wanted to go ahead and list it in order, but they all should be number one. I'm going to share with you what causes people to fall away. And it's happening right now. So the title of this message, Is the Church Falling Away? Is the Church Falling Away? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 out of the NIV reads in this wise. But mark this, there will be a terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. That's a strong statement. It's a strong verse. I understand the grace movement is something that is very powerful, very popular. Grace has always been there for us. We just didn't understand it. And so men and women of God begin to teach about his grace. We all need it. But let's not forget about his mercies. Let's not forget about the mercy that keeps you from being judged at that very moment that you commit your sin. How many of you know that back in the day, Jesus knew how to take care of some things? Did he not?
See, I say Jesus, you start looking at all the good things of the precious Jesus, the lover of everybody. He didn't challenge anybody. He would just walk, feed everybody, change water to wine. That Jesus. Now I'm talking about the Jesus that was in the Old Testament. That when the people of God came against God, what would take place? Can you imagine if grace was lifted today off of the world? We'd be walking in, hallelujah! What happened? What happened? Everybody dead. Who's going to preach? No one. Where are the ushers? They dead too. Where's the elder? He's the first one that got it. What about the prophet? The prophet didn't see it coming. Prophet was the first one out in the street that got killed. Think about it. We think that because we're under the grace that we don't have to watch out for God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus, that he sits next to him. You know why Jesus sits next to God, right? Every time God wants to get up, Jesus is like, oh, no, no, daddy, no, no, daddy, no, 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 no. God wants to stand up again. Jesus is like, no. You remember, I already went down there. No, 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 no. And God's like, you know, my eyes are full of flames of fire. And I want to take them out. And Jesus, oh, peace, peace, peace. Calm down, daddy. Calm down, daddy. I already paid the price for them. I know I have to pray for them daily for them. I have to pray daily for them. And who's Jesus praying to? To God. Telling him, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. No, dad, no. And that's why the angels are like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They're all trying to calm God down. Like, hey, hey, holy, holy. That's why he said Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He's holding the Father down. Like, don't do it. They're a mess. They're playing secular music in church. Oh, my God. Don't do it. Oh, God, no. Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't understand why they play secular music in the church. We're supposed to be holy in their God. But don't do it. I already paid the sins for Marty. He's a little out there, but I already paid the sins for him. Don't do it, God. I'm sending him to the Capitol so he can speak to people. Don't do it, God. Don't do it, God. No, daddy, daddy, don't. Daddy, 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 don't. Oh, he stood up. So Jesus stands to the side saying, what are you going to do, daddy? He's like, I'm going to see what Marty's going to do with him in the Capitol. I'm going to see what he's going to do. They're just supposed to talk about this bridging the gap thing. I know that fool. They should have never called on that Mexican to go up there. I think I need to go down and talk to him. What do you think? Jesus is like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're going to kill him because he's going to mess up. Don't kill him. Think about it. How many of us make mistakes? Yeah, some of y'all are like, not me. I'm perfect. Sure. Right? Not in this church. We don't make mistakes. We're holy. Yeah, you got holes all over you. But the grace is there for us so that we can understand that God needs to help us through our walk, right? Sometimes I just wish, just, I know I'm just playing, role playing. Tell him, Jesus, role play. Just on a day when everybody mounts up to begin to preach the word, that the pulpits just shatter. Who's in charge now? Right? I wonder what they would do. Wonder what they would do. Let this one shatter. Like, come on, God, do it. Just whatever. Come on. Because I spend time with him. When he shows up, I'm going to reverence him. Amen. I'm going to say, God, you have your way. I'll move out the way. What did Eric just say about the men that came in?
One of the things that I tell God, don't take my sensitivity of you away. I want to know when you walk in, when you begin to move, so I can move out of the way. So that you're God and I'm not God. If you want to do something, you do it. I'm me. That's why I'm a firm believer that God can deliver you and heal you right where you're sitting. He doesn't need to come in and lay hands on you. You know, everybody starts looking at the individual that's getting ready to minister. They're like, God can just come in, sit right next to you, and all of a sudden you just start weeping, crying. Sometimes you start shaking like, oh my God, something's wrong. I need to eat something. I got my sugar levels low. So, you know that I feel that way at times, and I think, I got to eat some sugar. I got to eat something. You know, sugar, you're just hungry. But my body begins to shake, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to eat. And then all of a sudden I can feel that presence. Oh, that's you. And, you know, right away you start thinking like you're in the principal's office. You're going to get in trouble. Forgive me, Lord, for I thought of the Snickers before it was you. I thought, you know, it made me feel like somebody else. I'm sorry, God. I will not eat the donuts as I go through HEB no more. I pay for them. Yeah, y'all all do it too. Don't be, y'all a bunch of judgmental Christians in here. Look at that. You go by the angel. Got the chocolate over here on the side like that. No, I ain't had no donut. But look, we got to understand when he shows up. Why is he showing up? He's showing up because he wants to speak to his children. He loves us, right? Now, here's the falling away that takes place is we have our own desires. We all have our own lustful desires. We have our own agenda. And we begin to follow after that more than we follow after God. Do you understand? So we've got to be careful. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Watch this. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 out of the King James. If you're taking notes, just write it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay, what is he saying? That day won't come first. His return won't come unless there's a falling away first. Are we seeing a falling away of Christians leaving churches? They're not leaving to go follow after other gods. They're leaving because there has not been a demonstration of God. We are a people that have to see with our eyes before we believe. That's why he says you can't please God unless you have faith. Faith. And if you have faith, what is faith? The substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. But if you got to see a thing to believe a thing, you don't have faith. I'll say it again. Y'all should have been shouting, but it's all right. If you got to see a thing to believe a thing, that is not faith. Even if it is written, watch this, that some sort of judgment is coming against you, let it be written. But who has the final say? God. And for all of these freaks that are out there that say, if you don't say Jesus, you're referring to a different God. Let me remind you what the Bible says that his name is. I am God, and by me, there is no other. If God calls himself God, why does everybody get freaked out when they say, well, you're supposed to be saying Jesus? Stop it. God is God. The Son is the Son, and the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. We think we have to preface everything by saying Jesus. We worship Jesus because we come to the Father through Jesus. God has the last say. God is the one who's going to bring the deliverance to you. And the mediator, Jesus, sits at the right hand of the Father praying for you. I've heard people come after so many things. You know, your pastor is a little different, right? No? I'm quite fine, right?
A little different. I get people come after me because my methods are different. And if I was to tell you all the things that come at me, because I don't think really y'all are saved, y'all would probably kill them. Some of y'all are like, oh, I can't tell this individual. Don't go tell this one. Don't. Why don't you tell them? You got to stop the individual because they want to go kill them. I appreciate that. The Jonathan's in the room, the Peter's in the room. Appreciate that. But I know that God has called me to do things against the grain. And because I do things against the grain, not everybody follows suit. I'm cool with that too. I'm not a cookie cutter pastor. I'm not, and I won't be. I follow after the heart of God for a reason, so that I don't fall away. Now, I know it's difficult when we get into situations in our life that we don't believe because we're not seeing. What you're seeing doesn't dictate your believing. If you have faith, don't let it go. If you've had a word spoken to you, don't let it go. If your heart is saying this is true, then believe it's true. Fear not. Fear not. For I shall manifest what you desire. I shall manifest it. The heart will change. The circumstance will change. Because I am God. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows that when people are beginning to fall away, he has to do something. He has to come in. But he allows us to be right there at that cusp of getting ready to fall. That when you cry out, he begins to reach out. And he'll grab you right before you let go. And at times when we get so angry, we get mad, bitter at God, reaches out and he touches you with his grace. He says, I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through, but I also know where you're going. That's what you don't know. You've only seen a glimpse of where you're going, but I'm going to show you. So he'll hold you. He'll pull you back from that edge. He's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you, don't fall away from me. Hold on, because I'm about to demonstrate for you. The falling away is a term that is used in some texts as the apostasy, which means to depart from the revealed truth, to lead away, seduce, mislead, to defect, to blind the eyes of the people by manipulating the truth, to turn one from the truth by lying, signs, and wonders. How many of you have witnessed some of these? I'll be careful how I say it. These ministers on their platforms that you have to send so much money to them in order for you to receive a great prophetic word. Have you seen those? Have you seen those that only begin to minister to you when you release seed first? Jesus was never concerned about the seed. He was concerned more about the soul. And he ministered to the people in need. But we have a lot of people that are beginning to proclaim certain signs and wonders to be true, and they're not true. They're manufactured. I read in a story where they were planting these jewels in church services to say that the jewels have fallen. They got caught. They got caught. They repented. And guess what? After they repented, the real jewels fell. I know signs and wonders are there for a reason. Signs and wonders come so that we can see the sign and have a wonder of his amazement, of his glory. But the signs and wonders that come to Christians is to only show you you're doing something right. Continue to do it. You understand? If you're worshiping God with your whole heart and a glory cloud comes full of the gold dust, guess what? Don't begin to get all freaked out about it and cell phones start going up left and right.
Because all you're doing is more focused on that than you are what you were doing. If you continue doing what you were doing, which brings the manifestation because of what you're doing, that's a sign saying, God, keep doing it. You understand? I believe there's manifestations that are about to take place in many churches across this land. I believe that what is about to take place in San Antonio is going to be something that is not going to be fabricated. It can't be, because man will not be able to do what God wants to do. And when he begins to do it, you're going to see a culmination of different ministries coming together with one common cause, is to reach those in need. One common cause. We heard about it, the upper room. Y'all know about the upper room, right? In the Bible, in the book of Acts. They were all in one accord, one vision, one purpose. And when it began to get demonstrated, what was the demonstration? That was one. Tongues of fire fell inside the room. Now they begin to speak in other tongues. What happened to the people that witnessed them? What did they say? That they were drunk. Why would God use that particular action, that type of display, in that region? It's common, what'd you say? It was commonplace, like they were drunkards in the area? Okay. Watch this. God used something so that the world can witness what they had to pay for to get into that state. God did in a different area and brought them out so they could take notice of something they knew. They knew when they got drunk, they acted a fool. But here's what they didn't understand, is that how come they are speaking our language even though they're not from our region? Now watch. God will use signs and wonders to reach people that you normally wouldn't come in contact with, that you would never even know how to reach them. You know the ones, well, I've never been a prostitute. I can't minister to the prostitutes. It's not you ministering. It's the Spirit of God ministering through you. And you can minister to a prostitute, a pimp. You can minister to a drug addict. You can minister to a drug pusher. You can minister to anybody, because it's not you, it's God. Do you understand? So when they came out of that upper room, they witnessed something they had an understanding of. They're drunk. How do you know they're drunk? I get turned up too. But the difference is they're coherent and they're speaking in a tongue that they know not of, but we understand. There's a language in these last days that are going to reach these streets and reach the people of the world, but it's going to be a different language than the church. Did you miss it? It's not going to be the church lingo. It's not going to be the church ways. It's not going to be something that was done in the upper room. It's going to be something that will be displayed out in the world. And when you're thinking that the next revival, the next awakening is going to take place in the church, it's not. It's going to be out in the streets. Thinking not strange when you start seeing all kinds of people start getting the Holy Ghost just because you walk by them. You don't believe it? You've got to believe the power that's inside of you. And that's the biggest problem that the church has come under. They forgot about the power. Do you remember that song about the blood? That's a real song. It's to remind you about the power in the blood. It's the power of the blood that makes change in people's lives. You can get delivered from it. You know that. You can get delivered from all of the mess that's in your life. Some of us have a tendency to be drunk. Hi. And I don't mean hi. God can deliver you from that. God can. You have to choose to want it. If you don't want it, well, you'll stay stuck. Matthew 24:3-14. The Lord Jesus Christ specifically warns all about this. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. I will deceive many and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you're not alarmed. See to it that you're not alarmed. Don't be afraid. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to the persecuted and put to death. Hello. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and to the end will come. There is so much taking place right now in that particular message of that scripture that is taking place right now as we're living today. We're seeing all kinds of stuff happening. I call this the barrage of the garbage. The barrage of the garbage. The barrage of the garbage. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. You're like, garbage? How do you spell that one? The eyes have been blinded to all that has happened over the years. They have been desensitized to what they can see right in front of their faces. So much that they can no longer discern right from wrong. The holy from the unholy, the pure from the profane. What has television done? It has put out there a message of violence, all manner of adultery, sexual immorality, foul language, and the so-called alternative lifestyles. The music of today spews out a message of hatred, sex, drugs, and gang violence is glorified. Rebellion is the new normal attitude. While magazines show more and more flesh in topics of sex, video games encourage violence, and toys are not even the same when we were young. Go now into these video stores. What are they called? GameStop. Go to GameStop. And you will look on the walls of what's new coming in on these games. Whether it be, what's PlayStation 1830 or something like that? Xbox 7, 10, 12. All these game systems now, and the top selling games are what? About war. Killing everybody. What was that other one? Grand Theft? How many of y'all bought that for the kids? My son back there, I bought it. No, I didn't. I saw it on a commercial. What is it teaching the kids? Both of them are teaching the things that what goes against what you've been teaching them. But it keeps them out of your hair, so we let them play the music. I mean, play the games, and they close their doors. You don't know what they're playing. You don't know what they're hearing. And then you just happen to walk by the room, and all of a sudden you hear a cuss word come out of it. Like, hey, what is going on? Oh, well, it's not me. It's somebody online because I'm playing with them. Well, who is this online guy? Who is this? I don't know. He just jumps online when we play. We just play against anybody out there in the world. And all you're hearing is nothing but cussing. One of the favorite words that they like to say is what? Don't say it out loud. If y'all didn't hear that on the podcast, they said, forgive you. Forgive you. Forgive you. Y'all are hilarious. So these games are now raising your children. And then you're wondering why you're having a hard time dealing with your children? What has the most attention of your children? Yeah, okay, well, hello. The phones, the iPads, the Nook, the Kindle, the every kind of electrical device now. And what you're seeing is this particular message being broadcast to this generation. And the elder generation doesn't know how to deal with it. Because now when you go and take the switch or take the chancla, take your hand, now you're getting prosecuted for child abuse. The more you take discipline away from the homes, from your own children, the more you're going to have a hard time for this society to begin to change. If people would just allow their parents to rightfully discipline their children, don't come into my house and tell me how to discipline my child. Amen. I better hear an amen. Amen. Because what happens is we allow these young whippersnappers that do what they want to do, and they make the parents scared of them. That they don't want to do anything to cause problem. I'm calling CPS. I'll dial it for you. And I'll dial 911, because when I'm through with you, you might want to have the ambulance nearby. That'll be the last time you raise your hand at your mama or your daddy. You are not grown, you are a child. So I bind that very foul spirit off of this generation. And I declare that the people of God will stand firm on how they discipline their children. The cause, the root cause, is absentee fathers that don't want to take their position to treat the family right. They don't want to stay in their position to make change in a home. And we begin to look at society. The society is wrong. But if the fathers don't stand in their place to raise the children right, you'll never have a society that can be looked upon as being holy. We have been so far out of position that we have people thinking they can do what they want, how they want, and as many times as they want. Just saying. Revelations 22, 12 through 17. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. What I want to share with you, if you would go back up to verse 15, outside are the dogs. You see that? The dogs. Dogs.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs.
All right, now calm down. This is a holy place. Now we all know the song is the Atomic Dog. Pastor just out there. Had a man tell me one day, you are outstanding. I said, amen. He goes, no, you're outstanding. They feel by yourself somewhere. I can't get with you. Here's what I want to share with you. I had this conversation with my wife and my daughter on the way from an outreach, and I want to share some things with you. I think I'm going to keep Revelations 22:12, and I'm going to begin a new series on Wednesdays concerning that, so we have a better understanding the two types of people. Amen? So what I want to do is I want to skip over, and I want to begin to share with you about the dogs. Outside are the dogs. I want you to first understand it is a word that we use derogatory to women. And I find it many times in many songs that we hear. Not only do we hear it on the radio, but we hear it on TV. Where before you would never hear this particular word come out on TV, never hear it on the radio, but now it is now, it's only a female dog. No, it is not. If you don't understand the origin of this particular word that begins with the B, not the B-I-B-L-E.
That's your wife.
That's Pastor Inez. She's just making it clear. I just want to share with you that if you don't understand the origin of this particular word, you'll never understand how degrading it really is. Let me share with you what it is. Insulting a woman by calling her a female dog predates the existence of the word itself. The English language historian Geoffrey Hughes suggests this connection came about because of the Greek goddess of the hunt. Artemis, Diana in the Roman pantheon, who was often portrayed with a pack of hunting dogs and sometimes transformed into an animal herself. In ancient Greece and Rome, the comparison was a sexist slur equating women to dogs in heat, sexually depraved beasts who grovel and beg for men. Now let me break it down even more for you. There is a spirit that when this word comes out of someone's mouth, that you think nothing of it because it has become so normal in this society. What you're doing is invoking this spirit. And women, have you watched now? Watch. Women that have been so used to be calling this particular word have now become so sexualized in society. Look at every magazine that is on the newsstands. There's more flesh and more articles of sex than ever before. And they're flying off the racks. Videos, music videos. Now all you're showing nowadays is nothing but thongs running all over the place. So what has happened is over the course of time, all this word that has been going out, all it's been doing is demoralizing women. And it's invoking this spirit of this goddess that will make the women begin to grovel for men. Meaning that they don't see self-worth anymore. That they're only identified with the men that they're with. Pretty sad, isn't it? And for you women in here, single or married, don't let anyone call you that name. Amen. Or that you're acting like one. Well, you're being, I ain't being nothing. We think that it's just talk. Out of your mouth is life and death. Wonder why? I'll tell you what, let's just do this. I want every woman to stand up and every young lady to stand up. I'm going to close with this because if I try to go beyond this, it would not do justice. Everybody's stretching. Listen up. It's right now to lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every word that has been spoken into the ear gates of these precious women of God. And I thank you, God, that what the enemy has tried to do over the course of generations is to allow this spirit to infiltrate into the mind and soul of the individuals. Whether they've been called this particular goddess or not, I declare right now holiness into their soul, and I bind the very word and the very works and efficacy of that spirit. I bind it off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I declare to you, you are women of God, women of virtue, and women of influence. You will always do greater and above all else. God will always prevail with you and through you in Jesus' mighty name. You are not out there as a dog. You are out there as a queen of the kingdom of God. And do not let anyone come in and speak to you in that wise. You are women of God with influence for the kingdom of God. I declare into you and declare over your life that you are women of virtue, women of purpose in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to have the understanding that what is spoken, you have to understand that sometimes it begins to frame your surroundings. And if you're not careful, you can be looking at something and not understand that you're staring at the very thing that's keeping you bound. How do you hide something? The best way to hide it is in plain sight. You don't realize that it's there to hurt you, to harm you, or to keep you bound. It's like the same thing that the enemy has done. He's allowed all kinds of demonic entities to come in and begin to speak to you. You don't take notice of it. You don't understand it. For those of you that like those horror movies, oh, I just like to be scared. It's just Hollywood. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now you start hearing people walking in your house, doors opening and shutting. Oh, that's just a quiz. It's just my mind. No, it's not. You've opened a portal and you've allowed that very thing into your house. And then you think, oh, but I've got the blood on me. You have the blood that opened that very door and that.